Welcome to the Race to Dubai show. I'm Robert Lee, and we're going to talk about a new name to savour, Sami Välimäki, a young Finnish player, 21 years of age, who did the business in Oman. He was incredible. We'll hear from Adrian Sadier, who's got some off-piste activities that helps him play well. And then we will look ahead to the Qatar Masters, the next event on the European Tour. Jamie Spence is alongside me, who is a golfer of note, a multi-champion on the European Tour.
Great, great talk up that, Rob.
You like that?
I've loved that.
Yeah.
I love that.
And Kit Alexander, who's got nothing much to say for himself. How are you, Kit?
I'm good. Well, Aundel Club champion a few years ago. I'll take that. It's nothing quite like Jamie Spence's CV, but
it's
something. It's something.
Impressive. How many played in that? Three or four?
About 40.
40.
When
good.
That news broke, though, I somehow missed it.
Did you miss it?
I don't know. Did it make Sky Sports News? I'm not sure.
I must have missed it, Rob.
We've covered it here in the Race to Dubai show, surely.
We had a good chat about it. I seem to remember.
Arundel champion.
Yes.
Let's concentrate on what happened in Oman. First of all, Jamie, how good is the golf course?
Yeah, I was there a couple of years ago, Rob, Al Mooj. It's fantastic golf course. Comes across pretty well on TV as well because there's so much water involved down the Gulf of Oman there. You've been there as well, haven't
you? Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah.
And that was great.
It's a couple of lovely paths. It's a great front nine, actually. They switched the nines around for this tournament.
Yeah.
But there's some just good holes on both nines, and that 18th hole grabs your attention as well. What I like about it is about four or five tee shots where the pros have to be on it. You don't get that very often in modern
I think
golf.
If you got the other wind,
yeah,
where they're playing the last into the wind,
yeah,
and the fifth into the wind,
yeah,
you're looking at some smelly shots.
18 was more off the right, and they had to hit driver, whereas
yeah.
Yesterday it was sort of an iron and a 7-iron, 8-iron in, wasn't it? So it wasn't quite as fearsome as it has been.
Yeah. Sami Välimäki, a new name to savour. I know you're ahead of all the young names that are coming out, but he's probably slipped your net.
Well, no, actually, I don't want to blow my own trumpet too much, but in another
trust
podcast,
me, no one else is going
well,
to.
Exactly,
so
I've
go
got
ahead.
To. Yeah, well, I've already done it once, but yeah, after Q School, I did another podcast, and we were picking who our man that got through Q School would be to keep an eye on, and I went with Sami Välimäki purely because of the form he'd shown on the Pro Golf Tour. I mean, four wins last year. Okay, it's third tier
golf. Just explain what is the Pro Golf Tour.
So it's third tier golf. So you've got the European Tour at the top, then the Challenge Tour, and below that you have four third tier tours.
So Alps Tour, Euro Pro Tour,
and the Nordic League.
And the Nordic one.
He came through the Pro Golf Tour, four wins, including their last three event of the season and their tour championships. Then went into Q School and got his card by finishing tied eighth, and has obviously carried that momentum forwards. And winning is winning. I know people will say it's the third tier, but he showed it yesterday. He has the attitude and the game to handle getting in those pressure situations. And I mean, he was just like a metronome playing that 18th in the playoff. Same tee shot every time.
Is winning winning, Jamie, or maybe not?
Firstly, very lucky pick from Alexander, I have to say that. But no, he had a bit of knowledge there.
Last bit of paper in the hat.
I always think winning is winning. You get the same feelings, whatever level it is, when you've got a few holes to go. You've got to hold your nerve and play the shots. And there's always times coming around of golf, whether amateur or professional, where you've got to hit a couple of shots. And if you can do that, no matter what level, obviously when you step it up and you're playing against better players and the golf courses are harder, that's the main thing. The golf courses, you progress up the ladder, get harder and harder and harder, and they ask some more severe questions of you. I think it is the same inside, Robert. You sort of, I'm not sure whether you agree with that.
No, I do.
You do?
I think getting across the line is absolutely doing it.
It's a mindset, isn't it?
And
yeah.
Were you surprised, Kit, with six players tied for the league going into Sunday at 11 under par, that you only had to get to 13 under par, one of those six to shoot 70 to win or play off?
Yeah, absolutely. I think if it had been a couple of players tied, you think, you know, someone might shoot in the mid-60s, but it's more likely to be someone coming from deeper rather than someone a little bit higher up. But when you've got six of them tied there and there were 20 within five of the lead, you thought someone's got to shoot mid-60s, and no one really did, or no one from close enough. And I think the wind getting up was what made the difference. Jamie's alluded to it, perhaps wasn't the most testing direction of wind you could have on that golf course, but it did get up and you saw it causing problems. And at the end of the day, winning is winning, as we've said. And you could see with some guys, even the more experienced, like you look at Joost Luiten, who has won in Oman before, many people fancied him before the final round, and it just didn't happen for him for whatever reason. Getting over the line is not always easy. Mikko Korhonen, another example of a guy that had to wait a long time for his first win, is a really solid player on the European Tour, but hasn't always produced his best golf when in contention. And yesterday, he just kind of hung around. He was one over for his round with two or three holes to play and still had a vague shout with a sort of birdie-birdie finish to maybe scrape into a playoff. It was surprising, but I think the wind and just the fact that suddenly the final day, the pressure's on, there is a trophy getting handed out at the end of it, that plays on people's minds and it does kind of take the scoring up a little bit.
How impressive, Jamie, were the two birdies that Valimaki and Brandon Stone made at the 18th hole?
Yeah, they were, but as we...
Because there weren't many birdies there.
No, but even so, it was Brandon Stone's hitting that long line off the tee and going in with, you know, 7 or 8 iron. So he wasn't playing the most fierce. And the flag was on the left-hand side as well, so it was an easier flag to get to. I was surprised they didn't put it next to the water, actually, on the right-hand side.
Or just dead middle back, further
yeah,
back.
That's right. So I'm surprised there weren't that as many birdies. But let's not forget, Saturday was flat calm. Valimaki shot 64.
That's right.
It was there to be shot at. Whereas yesterday, the wind got up. It was probably 1.5-2 club wind.
Well, his first round was 74.
Yeah, I know.
He wasn't inside the top 100 after round one.
Yeah, so it came from... He put himself into contention from nowhere, really, hasn't he? But he still dealt with the pressure yesterday. But I just think with that breeze, the flag positions look tough as well to get to, I've got to say, and the greens firmed up, so it was a tough day to score.
And the thing was, Brandon Stone had posted the score. He was waiting to see what happened. Sammy Valimaki was finishing after him.
Sadier posted the score. I thought that was enough. I've got to be honest.
You?
Yeah.
With
that finish coming up, 17's not easy. And with some of the other pin positions, the par 5, 16 wasn't giving up that many birdies either. It was playing quite difficult with that front pin. So I might have sneaked. He might have had enough.
He probably had a bit to meditate on there before the other scores came in. And, of course, Brandon Stone pipped him with a birdie at the last. And then
Brandon Stone must have thought, that's it, job done.
I think he must have thought, well, you always leave that little... leave that door open, don't you? Because in case you have to play off, you cannot allow yourself to think...
He wasn't sitting on the range, was he?
No, neither did Sung Jae-im last night, by the way. No. He didn't do that either. I think he and Tommy Fleetwood did a better shot than to last. It might have been a different story. So Sammy Valimaki knew he had the birdie the last, and he did, made an amazing putt to force extra time.
How good did he putt, by the way?
Beautifully, actually.
I mean,
His putting stroke reminded me a little bit of John Rahm's stroke.
Did it?
Yeah.
I don't know what stroke it reminded me of. It reminded me that everyone I looked at seemed to go in.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't watch all of it. I watched a lot of it, and every time I watched him, it went in.
Sammy, unbelievable. What a win. Welcome to the Race to Dubai show. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling really good, thank you.
How exciting was the last few holes for you? You had to play the last and birdie, and then three playoff holes.
It was awesome to make birdie and made it in the playoff. And in the playoff, just enjoying the moment.
Sammy, tell us a bit about yourself. I know you've had quite a short journey now to the European Tour, coming through the tour school for your first win. What are the strengths of your game, and what sort of journey have you been on?
The ball striking is my strength. Most of it, I hit a lot of fairways and greens, but I would make a lot of putts. But this week, the putter was hot, so I was able to compete and make the win happen.
Sammy, Kit Alexander here. Congratulations on the win. We saw a really interesting conversation between you and your caddy before the approach into 18 in regulation. How important was that conversation and the overall role of your caddy this week, especially in winning?
Roger has been amazing. He's trying to keep me positive all the way when we had a little bit up and downs last round. And then we make really good decision in 18, give a chance to make a birdie. So Roger has been amazing.
How much, Sammy, do you think the wins that you had in the prior tour that you were on, the Pro Tour, how much did that have an effect on how you were able to get it done yesterday?
Actually, a lot, because I know I have made those putts to make it in playoff or win the tournament right away. So I was actually really confident before that last putt. So it has helped a lot, changing almost everything, because now I can choose the tournaments and stuff like that. So it was really hard with the qualification.
We're seeing a lot more Finnish players come out onto tour now. How inspired were you by people that have gone before, like Mikko Inlinen, and what kind of support system is there in place in Finland to help you guys progress through the amateur ranks?
It has been awesome that Mikko Inlinen Kari, he was the Finnish golf king. Now he's retirement, but he's coming on tour, helping us a little bit, and they are inspiring us. Now the young players are coming up.
You're on the range right now. Are you on the range right now as we're talking to you?
Yeah. players' lounge.
Yeah. All right, that's even better. So what has it been like being in the players' lounge when players are coming up to you saying, oh, well done last week, Sammy, well done. What's that been like?
It has been a feeling really good for myself. It's nice.
How much are you looking forward to this week in Qatar, playing now as a champion at the age of 21 years of age?
Trying to having fun and try to make it happen again.
Have you celebrated yet?
A little bit, yeah.
What does that mean?
It was nice to have a couple of beers after the last round and take a little bit of rest.
Sammy, you were so impressive. Really enjoyed watching you because it was a hard tournament to win. Six players tied at the top going into the final round, and it was changing by the second. You knew you had to birdie the last hole. You did, and in three extra holes, you're now a champion after winning the Oman event. Absolutely fantastic and well done. And I tell you what, we are, and I say this every week, but we really are looking forward to watching how your career progresses. Fantastic stuff. Well done.
Thank you.
So, Jamie, you know, the Finns, the Swedes, they're stoic, aren't they? They don't, their ebullience isn't obvious all the time, but you can tell in his words how pleased he is.
Second language as well, Robert, don't forget.
Of course.
My Finnish isn't very good. I'm sure if I was doing an interview in Finnish, it's not that great.
Do you remember the classic all-time with an interpreter interview, Wayne Riley, Hideki Matsuyama, and Bob Turner, the interpreter?
That, yeah.
Do you remember that?
I do remember that.
That was.
I had to do the winning interview with Andres Romero, and he apparently can't, his English isn't great, so I had to speak to his caddy and do the, it's not an easy thing to do, actually. Not that, listen, all the Scandinavians speak perfectly good English.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, they're multi-talented, and there can't be that many golfers in Finland.
Per capita.
Well, you think of Ilen and Korhonen's played some really good stuff for the last few years. He's turning into a solid player, and we've got Tapio Pulkkinen as well. I'm sure he's going to.
And Korhonen.
Samoya.
So, by the way, I think he had 7 birdies and an eagle, or maybe 9 birdies and an eagle when he shot 65 with a triple and a bogey. Mm.
So for a small golfing nation, they're producing a lot of winners out here on the European Tour. It's incredible.
Yeah. Do you think sometimes when you look at an emerging country, it's sort of not the same, but it's kind of similar? You know, like the class of 92 with United, there just is...
No, I'm not having that.
No, do you see what I'm saying?
No.
Here's my point, right?
Rubbish.
So that point, right?
Is this a cluster
that's just as opposed to, it's not a conveyor belt of Finnish players that's coming online. It just so happens that at this moment they've got a cluster of players.
No, it's not.
Or do you think it's systemic?
Because Korhonen, how old's Korhonen? Mid-30s, so that he's not young.
Yeah.
I think what you often see,
just retired.
So you've got one in each decade. It's not a stack of them.
What you often see is you get one or two that break through almost, not against the grain, but, you know, without the initial support. And then they become the kind of poster boy, and that inspires a new generation of golfers in that nation for the first time where it's sort of more widely available. And then a system is in place, and there's this first next generation that comes through. So you could argue Ilonen and Korhonen were kind of the trendsetters. 10, 15 years later, it's people that are 10, 15 years their junior who maybe got into golf because they'd only become aware of it because you had Ilonen and Korhonen. They then start getting into the golf at a time when there's more of a system in place, and therefore you get that generation coming through, which is what I think we're seeing with Finland at the moment.
So they must have a pretty good national coach, the Finn, and they can only play golf about five, six months a year. So they've obviously got an overseas base where they go to. So they've obviously got a good program there that identifies young talent and brings it through very, very well because they're getting younger and younger.
Or he's just an extraordinary talent to win in half a dozen attempts on the European Tour, and he's already won.
But he's not the only one.
And he's three years older than Rasmus Højgaard, who's done the same thing.
Yeah, I know, but there's for such a small golfing nation with Rupi Kekkonen as well and Tapio Pulkkinen, it's unusual for them to all get onto the European. It's hard to get onto the European Tour.
It is. I agree. It's a hot spot for Finnish golf. That's definitely right.
Incredible.
Sweet spot. And Sami Välimäki is the latest name to make a name for himself. How good when you watch his game and watch how he competed and watch how he, you know, he had to drag that victory out. It wasn't a stroll over the line. He had to work hard to do it. How good do you think he is?
Well, when you birdie the last like that to get in the playoff, that adrenaline rush can desert you. When you go to the playoff holes, suddenly, you know, it's not quite as easy, especially when he's up against an experienced player like Brandon Stone, who's won a couple of big events before. So he held himself together really well in that playoff as well. Got to talk about his caddy, the chat with him and his caddy. I mean, that was extraordinary. I don't know how he took all that information. I thought the caddy was going to take the club off him and hit him. Hit the ball, actually, Rochi. I thought he was going to actually have to hit the shot one.
As I was watching
that's
it, though,
his first
I didn't
win, apparently.
Mind it.
Rochi's first win.
Rochi's a good cat. I can't believe that.
Apparently, that's his first win.
Yeah, it that's is, incredible.
Yeah. It is.
So let's hear from Brandon Stone, who must be gutted because he almost won. He played off three extra holes. In the end, it wasn't quite good enough.
Yeah, obviously a little bit disappointed, but very proud. I'm very proud of the way I've played these last 4 days. Golf's back to where it needs to be, isn't it? And obviously wasn't quite good enough at the end of the week, but still, like I said, very happy with how I've been playing.
Just looking back at regulation play 18, one could be forgiven to think that was to win. Just tell us about what was going through your mind and the reaction to your putt there.
Oh, listen, we're professional sportsmen. We're filled with emotions, and I knew I needed a holder to probably give myself a sniff. And I managed to get it done. But yeah, like I said before, we leave it all out on the line, yeah, and you can see that from the boy on the last day. I mean, very high emotional stake. A lot of time, a lot of effort has gone in, and obviously he's a tremendous player. So congratulations to him. But at the same time, like I said, very proud of myself, and looking forward to being back next year. Hopefully we can go one better.
I was going to say, all week you seem very controlled of your game, swinging really well. Does it feel that your game is back to where it was at the best?
Definitely. It feels like I'm close again. Definitely feel starting to get that confidence in the swing again, confidence in the short game, and overall, just like I said, feel feeling really comfortable. And yeah, obviously this week come up a little shy, but the best part about our occupation is on Thursday we get to start all over again, so maybe I can do one better in Qatar.
You've been very vocal about your love affair with this place. Mm-hmm. Just how much have you enjoyed being here, the course, the setup and the event? I guess you just want to see it grow and grow and come back again.
100%. This is one of, if not my favourite, the top five best golf courses I've ever played on. Mr. Norman's done an incredible job with the design, the ground stuff here, what they've got this golf course manicure like is simply incredible. It honestly is. It's probably the top five I've ever played on, majors included. And it's a massive compliment to the team that they've got here, the support that they've got here from the government. And like I said, it's definitely the first week I put onto the calendar every season.
Couple of points on Brandon's thoughts there. He shortened Sami Välimäki to the boy.
Brandon's not exactly that old himself, is he?
No.
No.
He's not. He's still pretty young himself. And is he mid-20s now? And he's won a few times in the European Tour.
Mm. Brandon Stone, he burst onto the scene for me. He won at Leopard Creek, if I'm right.
Mm-hmm. 2016, I say.
Thank you. I knew you'd know that. And to be honest, he's been so inconsistent.
He
I know he won the Scottish
that's
Open.
That's the best way to describe him.
But you know there's talent there, and he's pulled it round. And he's, you know, it'd be easy for that game just to disappear, to be honest with you.
Do you know what? When Brandon Stone held that putt on the 18th, and he, you know, sometimes as a player you feel it. He felt it. He felt that was a winning putt. And I thought, honestly, it was.
I think we all did, Rob. Yeah, we all did. It seemed to be the moment, didn't it? Because everyone was, it was such a bunch leaderboard all day. And suddenly, I thought Sadie, as I said before, was, you know, he might have done enough. But then, of course, when someone goes one past him, I thought, well, that's it. It's done.
Celebration was good, Kit, wasn't it?
Excellent celebration. Tommy Fleetwood-esque from the Ryder Cup. Just shows how athletic these guys are these days.
You're on about the squat.
Kit, when you won the Arundel Club Championship, did you squat down that low and, you know, give it a big fist pump?
It was a very understated celebration because no leaderboards. I wasn't quite sure I'd won it when the final putt went in, so we had to go in.
So you didn't have that moment, did you?
I didn't have that moment.
Or the crowd?
No crowd. I mean, there was like seven people around the green.
In the clubhouse.
No, they came out. They watched.
Okay.
It was nice of them.
That's like, so you actually handed your card in and you didn't find out until you won until you handed your card in.
Well, as I was coming off the green, I was asking around, you know, there was...
Players that don't look at leaderboards, that's what they are. Players that don't look at leaderboards.
I don't believe that in a second. There's no player that, if they're in contention, doesn't look at a leaderboard on a back nine.
Yeah,
I'm not having that
there
at
is.
All.
The question is, what will Brandon Stone do now? Because he's obviously a great start for him at the start of the season. I'm just interested how he continues now. What pattern is his career will take now?
He craves consistency, doesn't he?
Yeah,
he craves that.
I don't like that, personally.
You don't like consistency?
Well, what is consistent what?
Challenging all the time.
Consistency. But
are you better off finishing 30th every week or missing three cuts, then winning, and then missing another four cuts and finishing third? Or just 30th?
It's the level of his game that needs to be consistent.
That's what I mean.
That's where he needs to keep the standard of golf.
If he plays like he's playing now, he's going to get over the line. I think he will do.
He's a nice lad. He's got his head screwed on.
Yeah,
he's found his game again. So
I think attitude is a massive thing as well. He played with a smile on his face all through the final round.
Yeah, but he did
that
when he was missing cuts.
He embraced the situation. I like the way he talked in his interview. It seems like he's got his head screwed on, and he's obviously the start of last season, which he missed 13 of the first 20 cuts, didn't have a top 20. That's enough to get anyone down. He was on the verge of losing his card until he he had a good, well, he wouldn't have done because of the Scottish Open win, but on the, he was way outside the top 115 in the race to Dubai, had the good result in Portugal. He's had to kind of go back to the drawing board. He has changed his swing a little bit improve it.
Sami Välimäki will find out, you go through a downturn and it's how you come out of it.
That's right.
He's done what Brandon did a few years ago. He's come out. Only won in his sixth event. Brilliant how he's done it. But he's going to have a downturn. It's how you come out of it.
Now, the player you thought might have won, and he might have done, it depends what the players behind him did, was Adrien Sadier, looking for win number one on the European Tour. Do you know, I was working in Morocco, and my studio position was halfway up in Rabat, the par five last hole.
I was there with you, Robert.
when he hit the three iron, he's hit a good drive just past where I am, past my studio. And he's got 250 yards to the middle of the green, and he pulled an iron out. And I looked at it, he's not a big guy. I looked at it, I thought, that's too long a club for a layup. It's not a layup iron. He's 250 at the middle. He pitched a three iron in the middle of the green, 250 yards, and it was slightly uphill.
Yeah, some shot, huh?
Oh,
sticks with you, things like that, don't they?
Yeah, it was just a moment. No one else probably noticed it or saw it. I saw it. I just couldn't believe it. And he nearly won yesterday. He played really well, but he said that meditation is a big thing for him. Let's hear his thoughts on that.
Well, I started to meditate like a few months ago, and it quite helped me to just come back in the present. Just, well, after bogey bogeys, there were still 16 holes to play, so just no rush, just try to play my best. A few drops, so I mean, I just work really hard, my game, my physical part, and I was ready to play this week. That was more important, and now I just know that I have to go on the same plane to go one more place.
Maybe it's around the corner for him. Maybe he's a good little pick in Qatar.
Possibly.
Oh, we'll find out at the end of the show, won't we?
Yeah. You can see him. I find players that play well this time of year sort of keep it going for most of the season. Seems to be a trend.
Like there's a lot of...
Yeah, you find something...
Good start. Yeah. A lot of solace in a good start.
The meditation part of it is very interesting. It helps him relax. But staying relaxed under the pressure and when the adrenaline's flowing, to keep yourself calm and make correct decisions is a very underrated thing to be able to do under pressure. Some people can just do it naturally.
Yeah.
You look at someone like Sandy Lyle, and I speak to Mark James, the past Ryder Cup captain there, and he just doesn't believe in any of it.
Yeah.
But it's because he's so strong, because mentally he is so strong. But other players need this form of relaxation just to keep them, as he said, in the present.
Whatever works, just to
keep your heart rate down and keep thinking clearly.
We should mention some of the other players that finished well. Guido Migliozzi had a fine tournament, led after the first day. Didn't quite happen for him, but I really like watching him play. Super aggressive, has a go at everything. More wins around the corner for him. And Mikko Kohonen, one of the Finns that we mentioned, they both finished 11 under par. Two shots clear of Alejandro Cañizares, who came through in the final round with a really good day. George Kutsira had a good final day. And Rasmus Højgaard. What do we think of Rasmus Højgaard? Already a winner on the European Tour, and he's 18 years of age.
Incredible, isn't it?
It's unbelievable.
The temperament on him is remarkable. Even yesterday, where he chucked in that little run where, you know, he dropped sort of three or four shots in a very short space of time. There was one little bit of emotion you saw where he just put the cap over his face just a little bit. But aside from that, he kept his head down. You can't hardly tell whether he's shooting bogeys or birdies to look at him. And then he carried on and bounced back and actually recovered to get into that tie for sixth. To be 18 and have that emotional maturity on a golf course, aside from the fact that he's obviously got an unbelievable game, I think is absolutely remarkable.
He and his brother Nikolai, identical twins, and guess what? They're both 307 yards off the tee for the season.
Well, the word I heard was that Nikolai was the better of the two players.
I heard somebody say that again, but you
that's
know,
not, that's they not always being said, shown
they always
at the moment.
Said that some of Seve's brothers were better than him. You hear it all the time.
I just hope he's not in a rush. He's only 18. It's a long career. I don't think you really mature as a golfer till you're like...
19.
Mid-20s. You just to be able to cope with all the...
I think maturing is right, but you can achieve that even before then, can't you?
He's excited. He's obviously got great talent, and he wants to get out there and play and everything, but just no rush is what I would say.
By the way, Jordan Smith had a good week, top 10 for him, and Joost Luiten finished 10th in the end. It wasn't the final round that we thought he was going to have after having won this a couple of years ago in 2018. Now, picks. Last week, it was myself, Rhys Davies and Chris Ryan doing the picks. Everyone gets two picks, one outside last year's top 50 in the race to Dubai and anyone you want. So Rhys Davies went for Benjamin Hébert, who tied 43rd, 0 points. Martin Kaymer, 10th, so he got 5 points for him. Chris went for Paul Waring, 25th, 0 points. Eddie Pepperell didn't compete, so nothing for that. I went for Minwoo Lee, who had a triple and a double on the first day, 142nd, minus 5 points. Nothing for Max Kiefer, who finished with 0 points and a 30th
place. You're doing
finish.
Well, Lee, aren't you? You're doing really well this year.
I play the PGA Tour Fantasy
You're
League game.
You're doing very well.
And
no,
I can tell you,
this is European Tour.
That looks a lot worse. That is worse than this. So the new standings are guests on 75 points, presenters by my pathetic picks down to 30 points, co-presenters, which is you, Jamie, up to 15 points.
I thought I was guest.
No, I'm guest. I mean, this looks like
you're
Liverpool
guest.
Topping the league table for us guests. We're just running away with it. One horse race.
We'll make our predictions for this week later on the
There's
show.
Time
you
yet.
Can, of course, give it time, Jamie. Give it time.
Yeah.
You can make your own fantasy predictions each week by heading to europeantour.com to register for the Fantasy Race to Dubai game, which launches soon. It's at the end of the month, so not long to go. End of March, I believe. So Rory McIlroy is going to return to the Irish Open, the Dubai duty-free Irish Open, which is great news. It's the second Rolex event of the year, of the 2020 year. Mount Juliet is where it's going to be. You've probably played there, Jamie, haven't you, many times?
No, never played it.
Have you not?
No, never went there for whatever reason.
Yeah, I played it. I liked it.
No, I'm working at the event, so I'm looking forward to it. I mean, good field there, isn't it, with GMAC hosting, and John Rahm's going to be there to DC.
He's defending.
And Shane Lowry as well. That's a good start for Phil, those four.
That's great, isn't it?
Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah, looking forward to that. The Irish Open is going to be mega. And, to be honest, Jamie, it's always mega when Rory comes to town.
Of course it is, yeah. Rory's got that sprinkle of stardust, hasn't he? Especially over in Ireland. John Rahm as well. He's not bad over there, is he?
He likes an Irish Open, doesn't he?
Yeah, he likes a links course as well. This isn't a links course, but I fancy Rahm might go close for the Open this year at St George's. But, great field. Yeah.
The fans will be incredible as well. They always turn out in force in Ireland, and especially with that field with the likes of Rory and GMAC and Shane Lowry as the reigning Open champion from Portrush last year. It is going to be absolutely electric around that golf course all week.
On the PGA Tour, the Honda Classic, Tommy Fleetwood had an opportunity, hit a buster drive up the last hole over 300 yards, had a cut 5-wood into that right-hand back pin, par 5, water on the right, and he hit it, unfortunately, Jamie, in the only place he couldn't hit it, and he had to make 4 to tie.
Yeah, he was just trying to hold up that 5-wood, which is his favourite club. He was disappointed, shall we say, afterwards.
He'd be gutted, yeah.
He'd like to break the back of that and get his first PGA Tour win.
He will.
Yeah, I'm sure he will. Just got to keep going, isn't
he? He's playing Arnold Palmer, and then he's playing the Players. 2 weeks' time, we might be talking about a Tommy Fleetwood win.
Absolutely.
And then that's all gone.
Tough course, that. That was tough track. The greens were like rock, difficult to putt on.
What was the winning score? 6 under par.
A lot of European Brits up there, weren't they?
I don't think that was a fluke. You saw players that were more used to playing in the wind.
It's very
interesting. Luke Donald was there, Westwood was there, Fleetwood was there. That's no fluke.
The slightly different look of the leaderboard on a course that isn't necessarily just a bombers and birdie makers paradise is very interesting in terms of a wider debate of the game. You've got the top players are the top players in the game because they perform best in tournaments. And at the moment, tournaments are on courses that tend to suit bombers and birdie makers. The fact that you had a slightly different looking leaderboard, perhaps on a course that required a little bit more cerebral thought, more ball striking.
Cerebral thought? We don't use that word with golfers.
I think it happens occasionally, even if it's by accident. No, I've seen you on the course.
Cerebral.
There's definitely something going on up there.
I wouldn't say cerebral. I wouldn't say that.
Oh, definitely. After a long conversation with the caddy, even more so. But it's interesting to see how a different test of golf can throw up a different leaderboard to what you're used to seeing.
Sungjae Im was a winner, breakthrough win for the youngster. He's only 21. The 21-year-old won over here in the European Tour, and a 21-year-old wins on the PGA Tour.
I've got a fact for you, Rob. And I haven't done this research myself. I saw it on Twitter. It's the first time in the 40
the
years...
The font of all truth.
That
you
we've
saw it
had,
on Twitter.
Exactly, yeah. I've verified it. It is the first time in the 40 years the world rankings have been in operation that two players under the age of 22 have won on the PGA and European Tour in the same weekend.
Are you a hit at dinner parties?
Excellent, yeah.
I wouldn't think there'd be many invites coming your way. Is that right? Two under the age of 22 that have won the same weekend?
First time.
That's pretty good, isn't it? And Bernard Langer, bless him. Unbelievable. 62 years of age. He found a way. I mean, I can remember him back in the day when he had the normal length putter and he could three putt from 1 foot. It was just horrific. And he found a way with that long putter. And even like other players, when the anchoring stopped, Bernard found a way not to anchor and kept it going. And the wins have just kept on coming. He's now won 41 times and he's within four wins of the record that probably people thought was unreachable. Hale Owen with 45 victories on the Champions Tour. Nobody thought anybody could get close to that because Hale still plays now. It's unbelievable. Langer, you've got to say, Jamie, he's got a wonderful chance of beating that.
Yeah, he will beat it, yeah. He's just highly motivated.
He's a machine, isn't he?
He's a machine. He's very fit. He looks the same as he did. He was never a long hitter anyway, Bernard. Hits the ball long enough, but he's got great control. His wedge play is fantastic. He's got a great touch around the greens, and he gets that long putter to perform miracles.
So the RNA and the Stacia Tour have also announced that the prize fund for the upcoming 2020 Senior Open, presented by Rolex, has been increased by $500,000, Jamie. Will you be competing for some of that change?
I played four of them. I played last year at Lytham, which was the hardest golf course I've ever played in my life. I'm going to have a go.
Sunningdale? This is right up your street.
I played Sunningdale the last time we played there. Finished 33rd, and I could not have finished 32nd. But I'm going to play. I'm going to get on the range. But I don't like just play. People say, oh, you've got to play. No, you haven't got to play.
No, you haven't got to play.
I want to play well. I want to finish.
You want to be relevant, don't you?
Yeah, I want to try and, you know, get in the top 20 or something. Take a game to the course. You never know what's coming your way. But I do not want to chop it round there.
How old are you now?
56, I am. I will be 57, amazingly.
By the time you play there.
By the way, when I played there last time, quick story, I played with Steve Jones and John Cook first 2 days.
Right.
Who ripped it, which I didn't.
Yes.
And Steve Jones held his second shot at the first.
No way.
Yeah, Albatross.
What, first hole of the day?
First hole of the day. First hole of the tournament.
So he's 3 under after one.
Next day, hits 5 iron. We're all in the same spot.
Yeah.
5 iron, hit it to an inch.
Yeah. So he's played it in par 5 in 2 days?
Yes.
That's amazing. Yeah, so Albatross and an eagle.
Forget that.
Oh, that's incredible.
And he finished behind the hole, an inch behind the hole.
What did he shoot?
Oh, he was up there with the leaders and he disappeared, but they can't chip. I could chip, but there you go.
But they couldn't chip, could they?
I couldn't hit it. They couldn't chip it.
There's justice in that, isn't
there?
I mean, so he's whipped it past you, stiffed it, and you think,
he's stuffed me.
He's missed the green at the second hole. I'll be watching this. Now, the EDGA wildcard team has been set for the Golf Sixes in Cascais, and it's going to be George Groves and Brendan Lawler. Just tell us a bit more, Kit.
Well, it's great. So disability golf is now becoming a much more significant part of the game. The European Tour already this season, at certain events on tour, there's also a disability tournament that goes on alongside it. So that's fantastic. And they're being included in something like Golf Sixes. So playing against males, and I believe also there'll be the odd female pairing, as there has been in recent years this year.
Yeah, it's good.
So it's brilliant for inclusivity, everyone. It showcases that golf truly is a sport for everyone, irrespective of age, background, gender, anything whatsoever. You can pick up a club and give it a go. And I think it'll be a really entertaining spectacle. And I know Brendan, I don't know so much about George Groves, but Brendan Lawler I know a little bit about, and I've met him a couple of times. Lovely lad, really good golfer, and he's going to absolutely relish that.
I presume they're going to... Will they play the same tees? And they must be getting a couple of shots or something. Maybe put them foot off the front tees. Wouldn't be quite a fair competition if they'd played two of the pros, would it, off the back tees? Would it really matter? No.
For people that aren't aware, what is Golf Sixes?
It's you play in pairs, in teams, countries, and it's over 6 holes at Otaivas Dunes. You play the first four, the 18th, and then they produce a little par three off the hotel. So it's a knockout, really. It's a round-robin knockout. So, yeah, they had a couple of lady teams last year, and this is another innovation from the European Tour. You just want to make it competitive. It's a bit of fun.
It's
competitive.
Right. Yeah.
But you say it's fun until you teed up on the tee and you want to win.
Now you want to win, don't you? Of course you do. It's always the same way, yeah. OK, next up, it's the Qatar Masters on the European Tour at a new venue this time, Education City Golf Club, which is quite the mouthful, but that's where it is. It's not, nothing's too far away in Doha. It's not too far away from the other golf course. But what's it like going to a brand new venue, Jamie, when you're going there the same time as everybody else and nobody knows the course?
Yeah, we've been going there for a long time, playing the same golf course here at Doha Golf Club, and really good course it is. So about time they had another track there you can go to. This one's designed by Jose Maria Lathbel. Wide fairways, I understand. Plenty of bunkers, pretty big undulating green. So not too dissimilar, really, to Doha Golf Club itself. But you're right, you can throw all the form out. What you do know is going to get a bit of wind there. You always do get some wind. New course for everybody. So there's no advantage from previous winners, I would say.
Quite unusual. 33 holes, 18 holes, 9 holes and 6 holes. So they've got...
That's great. I like that.
Yeah, so they've got a short course format with, you know, 6 complete holes on their own. Mm. very good if you just want to go and play for an hour.
Beginners can just go out there and play. Yeah. It's a really good idea.
It's a very new facility. It only opened at the back end of 2018, and it is clearly been done with a nod to it's in an emerging nation. They want to get new people into golf who maybe just have the time or the inclination to go and play six holes to get a feel for it, and or you can go out and play nine. It's set up to be able to do that. I think that's brilliant.
Former champions Ernie Els, Sergio Garcia, Ritik Gusen, Paul Laurie's won it a couple of times. Adam Scott's won it a couple of times. This is obviously on the other golf course, Doha Golf Club. Henrik Stenson, Thomas Bjorn, a lot of good winners. So this is going to be.
However, Andrew Coulter has won it as well.
But that, I didn't mention that. Do you notice that?
You
dropped Coulter in there, did you?
Sort of.
Grudgingly.
Yeah.
He won it well, in fairness.
How much has he paid you for that mention?
I was just saying that would lower the tone of that particular role of honour.
Yeah, but you put it in there. I think balance.
Balance it out.
At least it wasn't Coulter proclaiming his own victory.
That's true.
You know.
Well, you said like
the Arundel Championships. So,
Oundle.
Yeah.
The
River Oundle. Give us a clue who's playing.
The defending champion, Justin Harding. Martin Kaimi played pretty well last week. Brandon Stones there as well. Minwoo Lee, who...
let me down my pick, but he won in Australia.
Yeah, he's a good player.
Yeah,
Minwoo
really
Lee.
Good. Young, I good, saw young, him swinging good young player.
Eddie Pepperell was one round there as well. Paul Laurie. Pablo Larrazabal seems to pop up and win anywhere, to be honest with you. So, yeah, a lot of good players. It's an unknown, Robert. I've got my ideas who my picks are going to be, but it's going to be a really good week. The weather will be nice on a brand-new golf course.
Do you like a bit of wind, Kit?
I love a bit of wind. I think that's one of the things that actually made the final round of Oman so compelling, that the wind popped up, and we saw it at the Honda as well. You don't see it so much in America. I think that's why, perhaps, players that start and come through the European Tour develop a somewhat more rounded game and ability to maybe hit more shots than guys just playing in America. I think it's a great test. It's interesting from a viewer's perspective, and I think the players enjoy it because it's a bit of a test
as well.
It's going
to be interesting how Valimaki and Sadier
indeed, yeah,
this mm-hmm. week.
Migliozzi, see if he keeps going.
I think Migliozzi will.
He's, mm-hmm. I think he's here for the long run, Migliozzi.
I really like the way he plays.
Yeah, it's a long way, and I just like the cut of his jib. There we are. So, let's get down to predictions.
Am I going to go first?
Yes, you should go first. So you can have, you can go whichever way you want.
I have Matthias Schwab.
Matthias Schwab, okay.
Damn it.
Waiting to be a winner.
Okay, very good. That's your top pick. Kit?
Well, you've stolen what would have been my top pick.
No, I haven't stolen. You've just swept in ahead.
Okay, no, not stolen them at all.
I was asked who I was going to pick, and I just said him. I didn't steal anything.
Kit, go on.
I take it back. Well, Rob, you should go next, because obviously as the guests, we're leading, so it should reverse order, I think, is fair.
Fair play, that.
As I've just accused Jamie of stealing without
I'm going to go Nicholas Kolsarts.
You like Belgium, don't you?
I do like a Belgian player. He's my outside last year's top 50. Okay, yeah. So I'm going with him. He's my outside top 50.
Fine.
I'm going to go Martin Kaimer.
Yeah.
Historically, he's done well in the Middle East. No worse than tied 16 in his last four starts. It's a kind of quiet T10 in Oman, and really good interview on the European Tour's
media
channels.
Well, that's the most important criteria for winning.
Exactly, yeah. Really, really good interview on the European Tour about how he's kind of reapplied himself this year. He's gone into the last two or three seasons not as focused as he should be, and he's focused on the putting and picking up a little bit of yardage. It seems to be reaping the rewards and getting him back to what we know he can do.
Good pick. My second pick is Jordan Smith.
Yeah, he showed some form last week.
Played well last week.
Yeah,
rips it.
I like the way he swings it.
So, I've gone for
Matthias
Schwab, who's going to win, and Jordan Smith, who's going to chase him home.
Good combo.
And there is no horses for courses here because it's brand new for everybody. So,
we don't know, do we?
We don't know. So I'm going to go for the man who I picked last week, who didn't finish inside the top 140th spot.
Belgian?
He's not.
Thomas Peters?
He's an Australian.
Minwoo.
Minwoo Lee.
Ah, good pick.
I'm having Minwoo Lee this week.
I'm going for two that were outside the top 50 last year, a little bit unusually. But Ross Fisher, again, someone who we know how good he can be and seems to just be getting back towards that in recent weeks. So hopefully that trend continues.
I hope there's a bit of wind this week. You know, sometimes you get that dusty wind, that shamal that comes in across Qatar, and it can be the old Doha Golf Club could be pretty tricky when the wind got up.
We just don't know what the scoring's going to be like, do we? So if you get a bit of, if the fairways are pretty generous and it's a new golf course, it's never easy for the tournament director how he's going to set it up, because you don't want 24 under winning. So yeah, I think you need a bit of wind out there, and I think you'll get it.
Do you know what? That's about it for this week. We will bring you the results and look back at the Qatar Masters, of course, on the brand new golf course at Education City. And then we'll look ahead to the magical Kenya Open. It'll be nice and warm there, let me tell you, toasty. You can stay up to date on the official tour website and app, as well as on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. Thanks to my guests today, especially Jamie Spence, who's gone for...
We never remember, can we? Matthias Schwab and what's his name, Jordan Smith.
Good man.
Kit? Martin Keimer and Ross Fisher.
Well done. I've gone for Minwoo Lee and Nicholas Kolsarts. This has been an IMG Audio production for the European Tour. Thanks for listening.